Welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday with our special guest, Mrs. Joy Adamson from the Ministry of Education, Chief Education Officer, as we discuss the safe reopening of schools. And as we headed towards the latest, we were discussing the issue of common entrance and holding back students and all those topics. And I wanted to rejoin the conversation with some comments that were left here during the break, and also to get back to your calls. Welcome back, Mrs. Adamson.
Yes, welcome back. Thank you, Corey. Okay.
In the next 40 minutes, we're going to try to take some more questions and queries from the public via the medium of both the telephone, and we're going to also take some messages. This one says, has a decision been made as to how and where the BSSEE will be written? And I believe that is the Barbados Secondary School Entrance Exam, better known as Common Entrance for short, or 11 plus. Any firm decision on the how and the where? And I'll read the one right after that because it ties into that. It says, I believe that students sitting the 11 plus should be allowed to sit in their own primary schools. Couldn't the ministry have used the submission of schools provided by parents to eliminate the exam altogether? If all schools are deemed equal, why can't students just be allocated based on decisions with the principal at the primary school level? I think I know the answer to that, but you are the expert. I'll let you answer that one.
Okay, let me start with the last one first, in that we probably will have some schools that might, if we have 3,400 children now doing the common entrance, we will probably have some schools with 1,000 students who will want to go to that school. So obviously we cannot use that method, and until we have an alternative method, we know that we are looking at an alternative methods for assigning students to the secondary school, allocating students to secondary school, and we are working on that. If that was in place, that's what we would have been using, but for the interim, this is the only method that we have currently now, so that is what we will have to stick with. I had stated earlier that we have not made a final decision as to the location for where the children will be writing the exam, but that will be communicated before the end of this week to all parents involved, because it means we would need human resource in terms of invigilators and setting up distribution of the papers. So all of these things are being worked out. We do have a proposal, and we're looking at that now that we have the reopening of schools. What is the best location, how and when? Well, we know the date, but where the students will be writing the exam will be communicated to parents by the end of the week.
Excellent. Let's take a call. Good afternoon and welcome. Brass Tack Sunday, you're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. Okay. Hello? Good afternoon and welcome. Yes, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. In this world we live in today, there's nothing fair or there's nothing equal in this world we live in. Those little children that come along to see what they will become when they become men and women, it's going to be a difficult task because of the advantages and disadvantages. The children that are home doing their exams and their homework and so online and has all the facilities will be very much on top. And those that are not are not really have the equipment to do their exams and do their semesters and whatnot would be disadvantaged. And I believe that school, where everyone will have an equal opportunity, is the best thing for our children. And I don't know why we're trying to implement the technology. Technology is a kind of a scam. You can do so many things with the technology today. You don't even have to be there and get things done. You have to stay with that.
I'll let the guests respond. That's why the guest is here.
Okay. And we understand that face-to-face would be ideal. But because we were on lockdown, that was why we went to the online environment. Not to say that that is going to be replacing school. And because we want to make sure that no one is disadvantaged. For the students who are writing the exam, they're the ones who we are allowed to go back into the school, putting certain protocols in place. So the CXC students have to write exams, and the Class 4 students have to write exams. So that's why they're going back face-to-face. All others will be just using the technology. There are no written exams for any of the other students, no formal assessments for any of the other students. So no one should really be disadvantaged because of exams. What we are doing, as I said earlier, we have the tech drive where we would have received from the schools the names of the students who did not have devices. And we have a hotline that persons can call and an email where persons would have been given the information in terms of info@mes.gov.bb to call so that they can indicate that they still don't have a device. Because we are aware that there are some people, when we had a lockdown, you would have been using one of your parents' laptop or cell phone or your big brother's cell phone. But now things are opening back and they've gone back to work, so you don't have that device anymore. We are working in getting devices so that all of the students will have devices. So it's something that we're working on step by step. And as we get the devices, we are calling the parents to come to collect devices. We started with the most vulnerable, and then we went on to those of the persons who will be on welfare. We started with those first, and then we did the Class 4 students, and then we did the students at the CXC level, 5th form, 6th form students, to make sure that they had devices. And as the devices come to the ministry, we are distributing them to the other levels, and we have started to do that as well. So we do not want anybody to be disadvantaged, and that is why we are working the way that we have things rolled out now.
Excellent. We're going to repeat those email addresses at the end, particularly for those that are in need of a device. There are many people who are reaching out all over the place, but I think they should have the correct information. I'm going to take these next four messages as one. There are lots of people here asking about the beginning and the end of term and all these things. This one says, "Hi, Corey, listening and enjoying the discussion today. I have a primary school child currently doing online learning. When will the current term finish? I've heard July 24th. I need clarity on this." This next one says, "Good afternoon. My question is, when will the school term end? The official start given by the ministry was May 4th. However, some schools and teachers have begun teaching since April 13th. When will the Trinity or third term, when is it really supposed to begin?" This next one says, "I'm a parent and I know teachers have been working from April and also training continuously for online learning. My question is, when is school officially ending, seeing that teachers and children have been working quite hard? Also, when with parents going back out to work, young children will be unable to complete the work. Is the school term ending after or before the 11 plus? So lots of confusion around when will school begin, when is the beginning, when is the end. People are lost on that. Can you shed some light on that?
Okay. Now, I know the original school term was supposed to have been in April, and some teachers said they were not ready in terms of the training. So what the ministry said, that we will continue to do training with those teachers. If you felt comfortable that you have the Google Speak covered and you wanted to engage with the students, you could still do. Some persons took that to mean they will start teaching. The official start date that we sent from the ministry was May the 4th. The end date that we have communicated to the schools is July the 24th.
So the term that we are in right now ends July 24th.
July the 24th, which would be the same number of weeks that we would have had if we had started on the, I think it's the 24th of April.
Okay, good. Okay, that clears up that. Let's take another call. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I'm a mother of a Class 4 student right now. My suggestion is for the ministry, instead of looking for places for the children to set the exam, why not let them do it in the same classroom they're doing and use the invigilators to come into the schools instead of putting measures in place where there's a goal here and there's a goal there, why not do it in the same settings that they have already put for there to go in class right now? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Corey, press repeat. by the end of the week, you'll be, ma'am, you'll be told exactly where they'll be doing the exam. Okay?
Was there any particular reason, besides the fact, the obvious, I thought it was when I was in primary school, that people may have set up within their class an opportunity to cheat or whatever? I thought that was the reason why they took us out and put us in the big schools as I saw them back then. Is there any particular reason why we would want to be gung-ho on moving students out of their normal classroom, their normal environment? As people say, it adds to their anxiety on a very anxious, already anxious day.
I can't tell you the history, but I know in terms of how we are operating now, it meant that you needed invigilators, and you did not want, for transparency's sake, you did not want the same persons who would have been teaching the child to be the person invigilating the child. And then it would mean that you would need to find other persons to come into the school to invigilate that class. So moving to the secondary school, closing the secondary schools on that day, moving a one group where we can put protocols in place for examination, where we can check the classrooms, you know, the police go in, they check, make sure everything is done, and then we're using individuals who are removed from the exam setting. For instance, when I was working at a secondary school, if you had a child writing the exam, even if it was not at that school, you excuse yourself from the whole process, so we have everything that's being transparent. So we have 21 areas where we can control, where the ministry can control, where you were just taking papers to 21 schools because we have to protect those papers as we're transporting them there, where you can have persons then who will be away, who will be disconnected to the exam, invigilating it. There was a time before where the secondary schools corrected them at that paper and then submitted them to the ministry. Then they move to a system where they're put to one area where they're collected in an examination center, following the protocols from the Caribbean Examination Center, who sets the exam. So it is a matter of control. So if we extend now to the 100 and something schools, that means we have to put more protocols in place. We would need to now use external invigilators. So we have to then measure all of these different things and weigh the pros and cons to come up with the best solution.
One of the things that continuously pop up its head as we have our discussions here on 11 Plus, a person has suggested over the years, is actually to let the class teacher correct, but just have a second marker to put in that layer of accountability. But listening to you, I see that as like a no-no. just for ease, they had thought about it. Because I think the second marker could... What is your thought on that? Let me get your personal opinion, your opinion on that. Having the teacher correct whoever from the school, and they have a second marker behind them.
Yes, but then we still would have to put protocols in place where the teacher is correcting. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that any of our teachers are dishonest, but every teacher would want their child to their student to succeed. Mm-hmm. So then the whole thing about the reliability.
But the second marker wouldn't deal with that, because the second marker should be somebody independent.
Yeah, but the second marker is based where are you correcting it? How are you doing
right,
it?
Okay.
So there are a lot of logistics in place that you would have to put in. I don't work in exams, and I don't want Dr. Rutter or Mr. Price, the officer responsible, to say that I misspoke.
Right, yeah. Roger, well, mine. That's my friend. We take another call. 8 minutes before 1 o'clock, Brass Tack Sunday. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And the Acting Chief Officer of Education, Miss Joy Adamson. My name is Rosaline Corbin, and I am a teacher by profession and an adult educator. I speak in my capacity this afternoon, however, as shadow person and spokesperson for education for the People's Party for democracy and development. I want to encourage you, Ms. Adamson, and say that I do appreciate the optimistic tone in which you started the program and the fact that out front you thanked all those persons who played a significant part in getting learning and teaching to our nation's children. And like you, I want to say thank you too to all those who played a part in coming on board from civil society, from businesses, from those individuals with the philanthropic generosity, to the parents, to the teachers, the principals and unions, and not forgetting those neighbors who came on board and allowed students and households without Wi-Fi to access that from their own. I want to say thank you, and I am keeping within your parameters, Mr. Lane. I will not violate them. However, there are some concerns which I have received from parents, even while I was listening to the program from its start. I want to ask your support, Ms. Adamson, for consideration to that caller's suggestion, the one just before mine, to rethink the citing of the 11 plus exam. I think that's a laudable suggestion that the exam may be taken or could be written at the students' primary school, and with probably a shifting around of teachers from their own schools to other schools to invigilate or to supervise. So could you please consider that suggestion as you rethink and you plan for the writing of that exam? A parent calls and explained to me that students are required to walk with their own sanitizers and their own masks and all the protective things that are needed for adherence to the protocol. And she expressed concern that already cash-strapped households might not be able to meet these requirements, and asked if provision would be made. Yes, we know that children have to travel on the bus with masks and also with their hand sanitizers, but what if households cannot provide these things if they will be provided at the school? And another concern about lunches for children. Could you speak to that, parent, Sarah, please?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Corbin. Thank you for the commendations to the ministry and to the teachers. The ministry will be providing hand sanitizer at the school for students coming in so that they can sanitize at the gate, and also the teachers will have hand sanitizer in the classroom. We are providing masks for every child, every class 4 child. Each child will be given 2 masks. What I said earlier was that if a parent wants to provide their own hand sanitizer for their child, that they are free to do so. And I also said that because the mask, I would advise anybody to launder a mask before they actually start using it, that for the first day or two, depending on when the mask actually arrives to the school, that you walk with your own mask. So if you do not have mask, the school also has disposable masks that they can issue to that child. And I'm aware that some of those masks can actually be washed for the next day. But we do not want parents to be of the opinion that we're saying that they have to provide their own hand sanitizer. We are doing it at a school. We have excess soap there for them to do the hand washing. And we have said that we are going to be providing a packed lunch to every child free of cost with a liquid drink or water daily. So that has been organized so they don't have to worry about a packed lunch and they don't have to worry about a drink either. We are providing that for everybody.
Okay, excellent. Two quick ones, we go back to the lines. Parents, this one's a funny question to answer at this time, but parents are wondering about summer camps. You have any word on that?
I have no information on that as yet.
I'm sure as soon as they heard July 24th, summer camp came in their minds. This next one.
It's like, okay, how can we get these children here? Now, you know, it's amazing, Corey. They don't want us to come back to school, but they want to see how we can do a camp.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, this next one. I've received quite a few messages about homeschooling. Parents are asking the ministry if they can relax homeschooling conditions given the current environment. The homeschool option will become quite popular as time goes on. Your take on that?
Well, my minister is a lawyer. The Ministry of Education, we always follow the law. And therefore, if the law says that there's a particular way that we are to follow the protocols for homeschooling, there's a form. That form is online. You apply as normal for homeschooling. We will at this particular, everybody is kind of homeschooling now in inverted commas on 24.
Right.
So if you're staying, staying in September, that is what you want, then you will have to follow the law. And we follow the law always in terms of how things are supposed to be done.
Yeah, I guess because the regulations will be there for a reason and a purpose. So therefore, that is what you would want. We just had the chief drop out. We're going to try to get her back on air. In the meantime and in between time, good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Just two suggestions. The first one, I echo the previous two ladies' sentiments to consider having the kids to do it at their own school.
Wait, let me ask a question, sir. Are you a father?
Yes, I am.
Right, because I was wondering if you didn't have any male parents out there, any fathers, so thank you for calling. Go ahead.
The next one relates directly to the exam. I do think children will be disadvantaged because of the delays in the exam due to COVID and the length of time that they've had to wait, I guess, until the exam, is happening. Could the ministry consider widening the ban to take into account of that variability? So if the typical marks for QC is between 95 and 100, as an example, could it drop to 90 to 100, and so on and so on? Because there are children who will be disadvantaged socially and otherwise. I think we need to take into account that variability within the exam this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, excellent. Okay. Thank you that.
Thank you.
All right, this one. It's coming from a teacher that I know personally. He says, hi, Corey. I would like the Ministry of Education to have medical professionals based at the centers during the exam, considering children will be wearing masks and many will be very anxious. We as teachers will not be in a position to manage those sick children in the day if it is held at the secondary schools. We know a lot of children, even when it was setting, had actually faint, the pass out, all kind of things. So I guess what this teacher is anticipating an increase in that, seeing the tensions that exist in the environment along with wearing a mask and all, and the normal anxiety that comes with such an exam, that they're asking that we have medical professionals on site. Rastatz, good afternoon. We have the chief, but I'll get her take on that quickly. Actually, no, let's bring this next caller because we're 2 minutes after one. There are no more turns on this gallop as we head towards the finish line. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Lane. How are you doing, sir?
I am good. The fathers are coming in now at the end.
Well, I am glad today that I am going to finish the race. I was listening just now and heard the chief talked about how the exams are done and how they are marked. And what I would say is that these children are marked even harder than some person in an interview for a permanent secretary job or CEO job.
Ma'am?
I am lost when he said that they're marked harder than that.
No, you know said because Mr. Lane was asking about the second opinion and the second mark and stuff, and you told him all these variables and stuff that has to be done. But that is one. No, we got you back on the line. You were saying that you're hoping that we don't have this second wave, and I'm hoping also for the life of our country. But is there a plan B in place?
We have not worked out how we're going to be working through for September yet. That will be communicated in due course. So we will, as people are constantly saying, I don't like to use these buzz phrases, but this is a fluid situation. So we are working now as it is, moving forward. And missed your first question was that we're marking harder. We are following the same protocols that we would mark for a CXC exam. So if we have there will be a first mark, there'll be a table leader, they're going through, they're correcting, and then they're passed in to somebody else to double check that we have not in any way disadvantaged the children. But I don't think that I didn't understand the comment that we're marking harder.
No, I'm not saying, but what I meant when I say you're marking harder, how Mr. Leonard asked you about the teacher and then the second opinion. And I can't recall word for word what you said, but it came over to me, and I don't know if it came over to anybody else, that how these children are marked. It seems to me that they are marked harder than how an interview panel will mark some person that's going for a big job. But this is the next one I want to ask you. How many children are going to be in the exam room during the exam?
We are following the protocol. It is the desks are placed 6 feet apart.
Okay, so roughly we're looking like we get about 10 to 12 in a class.
It depends on how big, because there are some schools that do the exam in their hall. So if we can put then all the children in a hall and we can have 50 children inside, as long as they're 6 feet apart, that is the marker that we're using. So
okay,
different
the reason,
rooms depend
the
on the size
asking,
of the... Yeah.
Sorry, ma'am. The reason for me asking you that is because when we were talking about letting them do it at the school, you said you have to bring in more people. So in whatever case it is right now, you still have to bring in more people.
Correct.
So I think that by the end of the week, as you said, that they should know. I hope that is a very wise decision that we make, because in the future, the children exist. And as Mr. Lane asked you earlier before, what you didn't do, but you only went to the zoning that you say you can do. But I would say this now, in your lifetime and my lifetime, that is not going to happen, because the people with the alumni and all kinds of stuff, say for argument's sake, Common Mayor, them ain't going to want the whole station, Hill and Bush Hall, at Common Mayor. We could let that point end right there. But this is the last one I can ask you, ma'am. You said that the children have to change the mask when they get by the school gate.
What the World Health Organization has stated is that if you are traveling on public transport, that you change out the mask when you come to the school compound. If you're walking, we don't expect you necessarily to change necessarily. If you're coming in a car, we don't expect you to change generally when you get.
Okay, I understand that they're very carefully, ma'am. The mask, the only part of the mask that touches your body is the mouth that will be on your body, your face. So what the World Health Organization didn't say, if you're traveling upon a bus and get with the school, you change all your clothes then.
I can't speak to the protocol, sir. I'm just telling you what was recommended.
We just can follow protocols. Whatever them tell we to do, we can just follow, huh? Ma'am, I ain't called to crawl. Just let you know, Lord, right?
Let me jump in here with this one from Lieutenant Governor Craig from the Optimist Club of Bridgetown. He's saying, hey, Corey, so clubs like the Optimist have been asked by the ministry to donate masks for students and teachers who have to go to school, and that we will be doing. This is to help the parents who can't afford For their children, we have to donate one for the road and one for the school. That's for the ones that are traveling. So great points there. We take another call as we head towards the finish. Brasat Sunday, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes,
my
please.
My question to the chief, the acting chief. Okay, this term is used as a revision term, okay? When comes September now, having only then revision this term, what, and the children are going into their new classes, what will be then, you know, will they have to complete the term, the third term, or will they move on to start their new school year? What plans are in place?
Well, that will be for the school to organize, because the heads of departments, the management team, they will look at what they have covered and what they need to cover, what else they need to cover, and then they will decide on their schemes of work based on that. So that will be left at the school level to decide.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's go. All right. So in terms of all the questions and queries and comments, I think that I can honestly say, and we had a very good program, very informative. The debate online now is whether 2 days, 9 to 1 p.m. is good enough. And of course, all like always on Brass, that some people are saying, come on, man, it's not good enough. Other people saying it's time we think better of the children. They can do it. It is enough. And that debate continues online. Many questions, many comments. We'll never be able to get to all, but I want to give you this opportunity, Chief Education Officer, to speak to the parents and the public out there listening. Of course, repeating the email address, the contacts for the devices, for counseling, for whatever. And I would like for people to grab those devices, or grab, as I like to say, the black light, and drop down some of these notes for your children and your wards. So the floor is yours, madam.
Yes, thank you, Corey. Thank you for having me this afternoon. I thought it was an interesting engagement that we actually had with the public out there in Barbados, teachers, parents, and the general public. I want to reiterate again that the ministry will do all in its power to look out for the children in our care. We have made the opportunity available for the students performing the exams to go back into the school system, and we are making sure that the buildings, the grounds, and the facilities are sanitized, and that their health will be at all times maintained. We want to thank all of the persons who would have donated UNICEF, all of the PPE equipment that we are sending to the schools, they would have donated. In addition, they have donated monies towards devices as well. All of the donors to our tech drive, for donation of devices, so we will make sure that we do have that level playing field for individuals with devices. I really want to thank the offices at the Ministry of Education and our Information Technology Quality Assurance Unit. They have been working tirelessly, even on weekends, long hours, to make sure that we do get the devices, that the devices are set up, that persons can actually leave the ministry with a device that's functioning and log on. Immediately, they have been working. I want to thank all of those officers. I want to thank all of the education officers who have been interacting with the teachers and at the school levels in the classrooms, going into the classrooms, helping the principals to set up so that they are ready. So from the ministry staff, from the minister, the PS, everybody that would have put these things in place, I really want to thank you. I want to thank all of the educators. And we heard persons said earlier that they would have been working from April the 24th. And we know that you have been engaging with the students. I want to thank all of you who have been engaging. And yes, July the 24th looks like if it is a far time away, but it will soon come. And we need to make sure that we keep these students engaged. To all of the parents of those writing exams, we have said that we are, from one of the first things I said earlier, is that we want to make sure that we consult with the Ministry of Health as it relates to taking off your mask once you are seated. But we will want that when you come into the school that you have that mask on and you follow the directives given to you. We will be providing, I'm stressing again, we're giving the class fours a packed lunch so that they will be able to have something, a meal while they're there. every school has their different arrangements. So follow the directors. I know that they would have had PTA meetings, and they would have shared with the parents what is needed to be done. We are all anxious. We're anxious because of this COVID pandemic. We're anxious because the Common Entrance is one of the first high-stake exam that a lot of these students will be doing. But we are working. We're looking out for them. And I want the parents and the guardians, you cannot be transferring your anxiety to these children. You have to be calm. You have to tell them what is expected as they're going in. We will do our part, but we will want the parents also to do their part. We will be consulting with you regularly, and as I said earlier, contact the ministry, contact your principal, contact your teacher if you have a problem. If we are making sure that the children doing the exams, that they have devices. If you are currently in at a sixth form school, doing your fifth form, doing CXC or doing CAPE, if you're in class four and you still do not have a device, make sure that you email us at info@mes.gov.bb, and for it, I will have to send the number because I don't have that in my head and have it right in front of me, that you can also call for those persons who can't email, or tell your teacher, consult with your teacher, the class four teacher or the principal, and we will make sure that we try to get you a device, because you're only going to school for half day if you're in class four, or you're only going to school for that session, and if then in the afternoon or even afterwards, you can continue to do work if you have a device. These are anxious times. And we have counseling also set up. We have persons can call 535-0858 or 0817 if they need counseling. And this could be for teachers or for students or for parents. And we have on our website other numbers and websites that you can also go if you need to talk to somebody. We will get through this. This too shall pass. We don't know when there will be a post-COVID. It's like sometimes what somebody say, like a post-flu. We don't know when that will happen. So we have to learn to live with it. But we need to work together. Sorry.
Thank you very, very, very much. Quick question. Is there still a Common Entrance on? Someone here, there's a rumor that Common Entrance is not, the composition is off the Common Entrance.
We have not made any decision about that. So by the end of the week, we'll be able to tell everybody.
All right, excellent. I want to thank you very much. That has been Mrs. Joy Adamson from the Ministry of Education, Chief Education Officer acting. I want to thank her. I want to thank my producer and technical operator, Dennis DJ Johnson. And I want to thank all these Williams Industries Incorporated who have brought this program for you, who have called, who have messaged. I just say thank you. Do enjoy the rest of your day. Lane closed.